little thing that's been on my mind this morning for prayer time is after Oscar ministered a couple of weeks ago on the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:1 said, when Jesus saw that his ministry was drawing huge crowds, he climbed a mountain. He went to a mountain. And those who were the committed ones climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down, he taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. I'm not going to read the whole Beatitudes, Lord, but that first particular verse, I've been chewing on that for the last 2 weeks since you gave it to me and here in the sanctuary when Oscar was ministering. But you were showing me, Father, that there were those that were willing to climb the mountain with you. The multitude stayed down at the bottom, and that's fine. They wanted the fishes and the loaves and their car payments made and prosperity, and that's fine. But there were those that were, what you spoke to me a couple of days ago, I'm looking for mountain climbers. I'm looking for those that are really dedicated, sold out, that really want to know me personally. And then you showed me people climbing a mountain, and I could see that there were several people that were all tethered together. They were all hooked up with all their paraphernalia. And he was saying, that's what your little Bible study group is, son. It's people that are tethered together in love. And I'm the leader, and you're all tethered to me. And you're climbing with me.
Yes.
Because you want to know me. It isn't what I can do for you, what I have done for you, but it's who am I now, presently? What am I to you, presently? I'm going to give you present spiritual goals, not earthly goals. We strive so hard when we're young to achieve education or whatever, to have personal goals so we can have nice homes and cars. And you spoke to me here recently and you said, have you ever sat down and thought about the spiritual personal goals that you've had? And that's what you're doing in the people today, Father. In there it talks about one of the verses. It says, you're blessed when you feel that you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. And last it says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. And Father, that's what we're doing here this morning. Mm-hmm. Getting our minds renewed.
Yes.
Getting our minds renewed, Father. And it seems like the greatest revelation that you're bringing to your people in this hour is the love that you have for them. Not so much the love we have for you, because you loved us before we even first loved you. So it was your love that instigated everything. And then we just responded by grace, through faith, to that love. But there's coming a greater and greater manifestation and demonstration of your love for your creation.
Yes.
And Father, we pray and hope to be that people that are that manifestation.
Yes.
And that's why we're gathered here this morning. That's the reason why I know, Father, that whatever we ask you for in this session, you're more than eager to give it to us. So, Father, we receive it now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
thank you.
Give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Like I said before, we're just going to kind of hit these churches, and we'll spend more time on them in weeks to come. But we're currently, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how Jesus is on every page of the Bible. I mean, you could see him on every single, I mean, some of these Bibles are, what, 1,500 pages or something, I mean, including notes and whatnot.
He's the Word.
He is. He is the Word.
Is
we were talking about that on the radio program. He is the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word. And he was made flesh, and praise the Lord, he's everywhere in this book, and he's everywhere in the book.
Amen.
Okay, Thyatira means odor of affliction. Odor of affliction, isn't that interesting? But what I like is the art, it's the art of dyeing in purple. Remember, who was that lady that did the dyeing in purple? What's her name? Gosh.
Lydia
was, and she was from Thyatira. Yeah. And she, but I, this is stretching, folks. You know, this is a class where we can stretch, and, you know, if it sounds a little crazy, that's okay. But when I saw this, I just felt like the Lord said, the art of dying in purple. And, you know, Jesus took all the affliction, didn't he? He took it all. And because of that affliction, it caused his death. And because of his death, if we identify with his death as being our death, we died. But guess what? We were brought into purple, which is a royal color. It's a royal color. We are kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek. So that dying is basically identifying in his death as our death. And because of that, we get the purple robe, the robe of a king, you know, kingship. So anyway, that's, anybody else have, I have just this, and the only reason I put this in here is because of what it says at the end of the verse. We're going to spend more time, as I said, in Revelation 2 and 3 as far as these churches. But I like this because it fits right into some other things we're going to go into today. It says, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Okay? We're going to talk about the Son of Man here in a little bit. So this is what the Son of God says, whose eyes are like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. So just keep that thought in mind, because that's what the angel said that the Son of God looked like to the angel. So so before we get into Sardis, without, again, getting into the detail, any thoughts on odor of affliction? I mean, that's kind of a weird term, odor of affliction. You know, that's, but we are to sensitize our spiritual senses, right? Mm-hmm. You know, taste and see that he is good. So our the affliction, yeah, it can mean definitely a physical affliction, but it can also be something in our head that we're being afflicted by. You know, it's not just a physical beating or something like that, mm-hmm. but it's that. But the idea of smelling an odor, anybody have any thoughts on that? That was kind of interesting. It didn't just say affliction, it said odor of affliction.
Well, you talked about the senses, you know. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this many times. I've spoken on it many times. But the, you know, there was five foolish virgins and there was five wise virgins. The five wise virgins are the five spiritual senses that have oil, that have the anointing on them. And, you know, the odor of affliction, when you walk into a situation, you know, you should be able to function in those five senses. One of those five senses should be working at that particular time. Have you ever walked into something and you actually say, well, this situation just don't smell right.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
don't smell. Something's right. wrong here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, you know, and that, I think that's literally what it is that if we realize that we're going to experience affliction, but we also should be able to sympathize and to minister to those who are in affliction, some kind of affliction. You know, when you realize that Jesus was tested at all points like as we are, yet without sin, you know, he had all of those five senses working in him, and they worked in the fullness, not in part. Sometimes we still, at times, are functioning in part. But thank God that he's going to keep sharpening those senses as we go along with him. And the more that we come to the revelation of who and what we are, and to putting on those royal robes, so to speak, we'll come to the place to where when we walk into a situation, we'll be able to sniff it out, we'll be able to see it, we'll be able to hear it. You know, have you ever talked to somebody and they'll be talking and you say, they're saying this, but they're really saying something else. You know what I mean? But that's that spirit of discernment working in you. But the neat thing is, just like I say, is that we have to be able to smell the situation. And, you know, Jesus was the Rose of Sharon. I had a brother one time years ago prophesy to me, and he was prophesying to me. He says, which didn't have nothing to do with me, but he said, I smell a sweet fragrance as he was prophesying to me. Well, that fragrance was the fragrance of the Lord, you know. And, when we come to the realization of those five spiritual senses, you know, we'll be able to do all that. And Thyatira, I can't say it very good, but that purple, like you said, was the royal, that's a royal color, you know. And that's, and you know, if we realize all seven of these churches too is really the spirit of these churches is in us today.
Yes.
That's why God talked about the seven churches, you know. And you could go right down through each one of these and we're all there. We're all there. You know. Yeah.
Which we will, that's for sure. It's that discernment, a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's just you walk into a situation, you discern someone needs prayer. Can I pray for you?
Right.
You know, that's not you. That's the Lord. The
right.
Lord puts it on your heart. This person needs prayer. I can just smell that affliction that's on them, and then they need the anointing to come break that off of them.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's good. Anybody else on Thyatira? What a name, huh?
You know, back in purple, though, Rich, in Mark 15, it says the Roman soldiers clothed Jesus in purple before beating him and crucifying him. And in Proverbs, the virtuous woman, she was the one that made tapestry and all that, and clothing of fine linen and purple. In other words, she has a good quality stuff that she makes, all because she works hard and is very skilled at what she does. Interesting, there was another woman who did similar, but this time in the New Testament, Acts 16, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia.
That's
who
Lydia.
Was the attire to yourself of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul said.
Yeah, that's Lydia.
But purple's all about royalty and luxury, really.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that interesting, some of the women in the Bible that you don't hear much about, like Dorcas. You know, you hear a little bit about Lydia, a little bit about Dorcas, but they were so important, or they wouldn't be in there, you know. But it's interesting, Lydia. Okay, well, we're not going to get into this, but I'm just going to read. Almost in every church, I think in every church, there's good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in this one, it says, you know, that I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and thy last to be more than the first. But, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. Well, automatically in the natural, I think fornication, oh, they're messing around with someone else or whatever. No, that's not. I mean, it's going on right now. I mean, what about the people that go to a church and it's like, I don't like what that preacher said today, so I'm going to go to this church down the street. And then I'm going to go to this church, and then I'm going to go to this other. That's fornication, right? And they're eating things that were sacrificed to idols. You know, a lot of people are eating a lot of stuff at a lot of churches that's not the gospel.
Tree of the knowledge of
good.
Tree of the knowledge of good.
Right. And so, you know, it's just interesting that says what it says. And then, but the good news is, to the him, to he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, I will give him power over nations. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay, anybody else have anything on Thyatira? If not, we'll go to Sardis. Sardis means red ones. Red ones. Come on, Lord, make it a little easier than that, you know, red ones. It was, at the time, a very luxurious city in Asia Minor, which I think is Turkey. But I don't think it's anything now. I think in modern day, it's just ruins. But in Revelation 3:4, it says, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. So here you go, good. If you want to do that with the good and the bad, but ultimately it's good. And every one of them ends with to he who overcomes. Mm-hmm. Something awesome comes next from all seven. But there are some that in Sardis have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So we're going to talk about, there's white is another theme that's going to be in today's lessons. But anyway, anything else with Sardis? What do you think the red ones means? The red ones. It's an interesting.
Well, two things come to me. When I first heard it, I thought of the embarrassment of the face.
That's good, because I didn't. That's good. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do things that, you know, have made them embarrassed or embarrass other people around them. Mm-hmm. And the other one is just ruddy and, like, you know, they live out of the flesh and not out mm-hmm. of the spirit. Mm-hmm. Knowledge of good and evil and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Yeah. Anybody else? That's good. Anybody else have anything? Big theme in Sardis is to repent. That seems to be the theme in Sardis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wanted to put in there that some haven't defiled their garments. And the only way you can say that is the red one is the blood of Christ.
What do you think it means to defile your garments?
Well, I've got to go back to the Bible, and it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So a garment is basically how you react to people, how you love people, how you whatever people. So, I mean, the garment of praise is, of course, praising the Lord. So it's just basically walking in that fullness of Christ, where you can, you know, be Christ-like. But, you know, the garment of praise is what I first found out when you asked that question. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, take off the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. So I guess we could put on a garment of heaviness if, you know, if we'd be so inclined. But
didn't he change Joshua's garments? Remember in the Old Testament, where he took off Joshua's Oscar? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, he did.
he took off his old garments and he put on new garments, which I think kind of smacks of putting on Christ,
the mind of Christ.
Righteousness.
Well, the name Joshua meant God the Savior.
Yeah.
Or God saves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was a type of Jesus
gave him
Christ.
A new change of garments, garments, which was Christ's righteousness and whatever instead of Joshua's own.
Yeah.
But if you defile something, means you mess it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
You mess it up, and it's kind of ugly or damaged or whatever.
It's dirty.
Yeah, you didn't take care of
it.
Right.
Well, the good news is that if you overcome in this area, whatever that is, and again, we'll get more into it in a couple weeks, but it says he is going to make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So we'll get into that, of course, heavily, but go ahead.
When Jim was praying, I was thinking to myself how much I love coming in here on Sunday. When I come in here, I get centered. I come in. And it reminded me of when I first, I don't even like to use the word got saved, but when I first came into a relationship with Christ, it would work. I would come in, I would get centered, I would fall in love, and then I would go out. And, you know, and then it was like 6 days out, one day in. And the processing of the Lord as it comes on, it's not like that anymore. I'm much more involved in staying in with Christ during the week. And you know, as he was praying, I kept thinking, oh, that must be what it is. We're going to come to a place where we'll go no more out.
Yes.
And how wonderful that day and that time is going to be. That's just really what I long for. It's to not have anything draw me out.
And wouldn't it be great to start every day in this kind of a voice
yes.
of many waters where but we can. It's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, not physically.
Soon it'll be within us always.
And it's there. We can do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult at times when you're dealing with the day-to-day stuff, but we can go within and stay within.
I think that's what the message that's coming forth in this hour of the finished work is. I think it's the Lord revealing to his people, first, you're already there.
Yeah.
Here
okay.
we are.
Now I'm just revealing
mm-hmm.
to you. I'm peeling the onion. I'm peeling the onion. It isn't as if I've got to strive to get it. No.
Right.
No, it's by grace
mm-hmm.
through your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're already there, child. Just keep walking by faith, and my grace will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. And it's a realm of glory that God's people are moving into. Moving out of the time realm,
mm-hmm.
moving up into where there's no time or space. It's the glory of seeing him face to face.
I watched
I'm sorry
that,
to
by the
rhyme
way.
Poems again. But anyway.
I
yeah.
watched that, by the way.
Oh, what's that?
About the time and the space.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yep, that's it. That's
why don't
it.
You share?
I mean,
what are you
well,
talking
it's just a video Jim called me about to watch, and it's just about what he was just saying, that we can rise above this. We're so time-sensitive people.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's around time. You better get to the doctor by 9 o'clock or you're going to get charged for that. So everything's time. You have to be at work at 8.
It's the earth realm.
It's the earth realm. It's a lower realm than where we should be.
You're walking in the earth realm, mm-hmm. carnal realm.
But it's a realm that we have to operate
yes.
in right now
yes.
because
mm-hmm.
that's the realm we're in. But
mm-hmm.
But like Jesus said, he was in heavenly places and he was standing right on the ground. And that's I think, what we're talking about is what Jesus was saying, that, you know, he was in heaven even the whole time he was here on this earth. He was operating in a higher realm that we have the ability to
mm-hmm.
operate in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a word that we keep hearing that I don't think I've ever heard it as much as what I'm hearing in the past couple of years. And it's people have been saying it, preachers have been saying it, it's being prophesied, come up here.
Mm-hmm.
Come up here. That's what the Lord's saying. Come up out of the time realm that you're in, out of that earth. Come out of the earth.
To my glory.
And come up into the glory realm where you are seated with me in heavenly places.
Right.
We are seated with him in heavenly places. And he's saying, you're coming to the realization, you are seated with me in heavenly places. You just have to walk this thing out by faith. My grace will bring you everywhere you need to go. But just trust and believe that it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
It's finished.
Yeah, all this stuff about overcoming, it's been overcome.
Yes. yes.
All we have to do is believe it and walk in it day by day, because it says to him who overcomes. Well, it's not any sweat you have to do. It's just realizing that it was done, and all we have to do is walk in it and accept it and be it, you know? And that's the challenge of each and every day of our lives, trying to do that. It's not easy, but we're getting there.
And that's what he meant when he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Just keep apprehending my grace through faith, and it will be sufficient. You'll come out of whatever it is he was going through. My grace is sufficient. And that's what the Lord says to every one of us in every aspect of our life today. My grace is sufficient. Keep looking to me, walk by faith, and you'll walk right out of all these problems up into the heavenlies, where you're seated with me already.
I don't understand that.
That's okay. I don't understand it all either. I'm just speaking by faith. I don't see it all either, but you know. But it's the path of the people that are justified in Christ is growing brighter and brighter into that perfect day. You know, we just keep pressing into this thing, and all of a sudden, the illumination just starts coming to us and coming to us.
And our natural mind thinks we have to work it
yes.
out.
But we do see progress, though, in our lives.
Oh, my God.
You know, because it says work out your salvation, we think we have to huff and puff and work it out. Well, no,
that's
not what that means.
That's what religion.
That's religion.
Yeah.
You know, basically it's already been worked out.
Let
we
this
just
mind
have to believe it and
walk
start
it
walking this
right.
thing out day by day by day, you know.
Jesus said one time, this is the work. That you believe in me and who sent me.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And that's the work.
That's
the actual work.
That's it.
You know.
That's it.
Amen.
I think the problem is too much of our churches that we've gone through and we've grown up in and been taught that it's hard to come to something like here and try to reprogram everything. And that's why we're constantly battling this. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
You know,
Lisa.
This battling
right.
this, I don't know what you just said or whatever, you know, I mean, I kind of feel like I'm in her position sometimes too, that, hey, we have to work our own salvation. We have to say, Lord, they are not right. This is what's in here. Thank goodness you still love me for whatever I've done or whatever, because I still live in this world and I have to walk it. And we're based on time, and it's like, thank you, Lord. And I thank goodness that we have really good Christian stations that help us stay in the presence of Him so that we can. It's like, you know, just helping somebody at work or something. I'm like, I can tell they're struggling. I finally get what I'm doing now that at this new job, and I'm excited and I love it, and it seems like this is the only good thing I've got going right now. I want to help somebody, you know? And they're like, oh my goodness, you have cheat sheets. And I'm like, I made my own cheat sheets. And they're like, oh my goodness, send them to me. So, you know, and I can see it in their face. And it's like, thank you, Lord. At least I have you today in the presence to help somebody. And so it's just good to battle. So it's okay not knowing. You're going to know. It's going to feel good when you feel it.
what it says in Romans, the 12th chapter, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your
reasonable
service. And when it's talking about present your bodies, it's really saying just present yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. You teach me. You guide me. You lead me. That's what the Holy Spirit sent for.
Right.
And be not conformed to this world, but be you. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when it's talking about be not conformed, don't be made into the image of this world. The world will try to make you into its image.
Mm-hmm.
But be transformed, be metamorphosed, mm-hmm. is what it's really saying. Metamorphosed means that become a two-dimensional creature. Metamorphosis, when you go through a metamorphosis, you become two-dimensional, like a frog, a tadpole becomes a frog. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It can still walk around on the earth, a butterfly can, but it also can fly in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, if you not conform to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing there literally has the meaning of re-innovation. When you re-innovate something, you take something that's old, and what do? You make it new. It might still look old, but, you know, it's like these people, you ever watch these home building programs on show on the TV, they'll get these old houses and they'll go in and boy, they just rip out the walls and you walk into down the outside, it looks like an old house. It's nice. You walk inside, it's got all the modern conveniences, everything that's new and everything that you want in there. And that's the way the Lord is doing. We're being renewed daily in our minds as he changes you. And the things you don't understand, just say, Lord, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's the one that's supposed to lead and guide you in all truth. You might get it in this class. You might get it on the TV. You might get it from something else that has nothing to do with a religious program. Where all of a sudden God will let something dawn on you and you'll think, wow, that's what that means, you know. And you know, but don't feel bad if you don't understand anything, because he'll reveal it to you. When it's time for you to get it, you'll get it.
I think it's important that we just keep asking questions. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock.
Right.
We take the first letter of each one and it says ask.
Ask again, yeah, that's right.
So that's the first and most important part of that three-part thing that we have with the Lord is to ask. I mean, and it's great to get the TV programs, radio, but we, you know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I mean, that's where all truth comes from.
Right.
And some of the things you hear on TV and radio may not be, and they may be. But one thing for sure, when you hear it from the Lord, and you know it's the Lord, it's truth. 100% truth.
As you were talking about the butterfly, and it brought to my mind that if the butterfly DNA was not in you, you, no matter what you did, what work you did, you'd never be a butterfly.
That's right.
But if it is in you,
you're going to be a butterfly.
Christ in you. You're going to end up a butterfly, and there's no work to that except let it happen.
Yeah.
And that's what it means when the Bible says, work out your own salvation, because he has put it in you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the DNA is in you for it.
And you have
it's who you are. We can't have mistaken identity. It's who we are.
You know what happens to a butterfly if you try to break it out of its cocoon too fast?
Yeah, you kill it.
It dies. Mm-hmm. So, let it happen as God takes along. So what Kathy's saying, let it happen, you know. Let it happen. It'll happen.
In God's time.
Just trust him
happen.
And say, Lord, I thank you. You're going to reveal the things you want me to see today. And I thank you for that. And he will. He'll reveal to you whatever you need to know today.
I wonder what's going through the worm's mind when he's all wrapped up in a dark cocoon and he can't move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our salvation experience too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just feel like we can't move. Yeah, we're so, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Lord, you still love me or don't you love me? You know, I wonder what's going on in the worm's mind when he was a worm. Did he know he was going to be a caterpillar or a butterfly? I don't know.
Mistaken identity.
Well, you know, even when he first comes out, they hang there.
Yes.
And they let them wings hang there, and them wings have to dry, and they have to catch the air and everything. And if you try to hasten that too much, it won't be able to fly. You'll run it. If you touch it, if you start fooling with it, you might as well forget it. You've just killed it. And that's one reason why, you know, a lot of times God will, he will hide. Well, like my mother, when I got saved, you know, she was very, very sensitive spiritually wise. And usually, like I say, me and Margaret could be fussing at home. We'd get a phone call and she'd say, what's going on down there? I was praying and you guys came up before me or something, you know. But I drove to work with her every day when the Lord was in the process of me being saved. And he never revealed that to her one time. Mm-hmm. And when I finally told her what had happened, she said, God hid that from me. And she says, and I think he hid it from me so I'd keep my hands off of it. Mm-hmm. And I said, and she said, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. Greatest piece of advice I ever got. Learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you.
Right.
And that's true, and that's going to be true down through the ages. You have to know him for yourself. And he will reveal himself to you as you go along, you know.
I was thinking when Jim was talking about, you know, about the worm being in a cocoon. To me, the worm being in a cocoon, before he becomes a butterfly, he has to be nourished in that cocoon. That's what I'm thinking. Okay?
It's like a baby
going on.
Something's going on.
He's in a quiet place.
Yeah.
So yeah. He has to be nourished. So I'm thinking that, you know, if you're in a quiet place and the Lord speaks to you and teaches you.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Then, I mean, you know, like, when he does teach you, you know, you become a butterfly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you spread your wings, you know.
So you were talking about a quiet place, and in Matthew 5:1 in the Beatitudes, the Message Bible said, those who were apprehended were committed to the Lord. They climbed with him up to the mountain. They climbed with the Lord. The multitude stayed down at the bottom, but the ones that were committed climbed up to the top of the mountain with him, and it said, and they arrived at a quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
He sat down and taught his climbing companions, and this is what he said.
But
to the ones that climbed with him.
Mm-hmm. As you see, the worm has to climb up in a tree,
Matthew,
or whatever high place, to make his cocoon.
I'll run you a comment off.
Right.
Okay. It's the attitude.
All right. Well, let's jump real quick into Philadelphia. You've heard of the city of Philadelphia. It's called the city of
brotherly love.
Yep. And that's what it means. That's where they got it.
Not the
Isn't that amazing?
One.
That
yeah, right.
The Bible, in the day, they decided to name that this city in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. Wonder where they got that. I wonder why they call it the city of the Bible. Gosh, isn't that amazing? But the thing that's most exciting about that word Philadelphia is the root is all men. All men. All men. Wow. That's every single person that ever lived and will ever live. All men. In Revelation 3:7 says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith that he that is holy, that he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. I have to ask for that. What's the key of David? He that opens, and he and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Okay? So guess what? It says that he that opened, no man shut, and he that shut, no man opened. Who's in control here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's in control, isn't he?
Yeah.
What do you think that key of David is?
Man after God's
intimacy
heart.
With the Lord.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Intimacy. That's what David had.
So you could say that he that is true, and he that hath an intimate relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
When you get to that point,
you find the secret place.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
And you can go in and not have to come back out. You go in and you stay in because you've opened that, the Lord's opened that door. You came up to a higher place, and you're not going to want to leave when you're in that place. But
first you have to understand it's always been open to you.
It's always been open.
It's something you have to work for.
Mm-hmm.
It's open.
Why do you think brotherly love is in one of the seven churches? I mean, I think that's really important. I think Jesus spoke about it a lot, and he exemplified that in his love of people and definitely his love of his disciples, even Judas.
Mm-hmm.
The love he had for them was a brotherly love that, you know, that I think he wants us to have with, you know, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, who's your neighbor.
Everyone.
Yeah, you know.
I still contend we have to know the love of God for us.
We do,
before
first.
We can have love for our brothers and sisters.
Right.
We really do. Jesus said, I have said before you adore, well, and it's wide open. Well, in John, Jesus said, I am the door. Mm-hmm. And he says, I've set before you a door that's wide open, and no man can shut it. Nope. No one will shut it. In other words, you have free access to me at any time through the Holy Spirit. You have free access to me to come right into the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. And through intimacy, you'll be able to, I believe, we'll be able to attain that. But I really, I'm sincere when I say, I think the only way to the secret place is intimacy. You have to get quiet with the Lord.
That poem that Brother Oscar wrote, you know, Intimacy.
Yeah, it was
God
excellent.
I was sharing with Julian Rich Charles' Bible, and I've been underneath his Bible in the covering. There's a lot of poems and some I've given, but he had that one saved in there from Brother Oscar, and then a poem that he had written about Then Came You, and about all that God has done for him and his relationship. But I, that one there.
Why don't we close with that poem?
I don't know if I can quote it.
Well, she's got a copy of it.
If you
still have a copy of it,
go ahead.
I might have one in here too. Go ahead. That's fine. Go ahead.
The copy is over yours too, you kid.
Yeah.
Well, Brotherly Love. That's Philadelphia. And then the next one is Laodicea, which we'll do next week. And that's just to give you a little preview. It's Justice of the People.
I'll let him read it.
You play and read it. That's all right. You can read it. You can read it.
You wrote this in January 30th, 2012. That's the song.
And you know how that came to get written? Joey was writing her book, and she asked me if God had ever given me a poem on intimacy with God. And I said no. And this is just to show you how the Holy Spirit works. I'm sitting in Frisch's eating a hamburger, and I said, Margaret, give me a piece of paper and a pen right now.
Sure,
it came. It came right after she had asked me that, the day or so later. And I'm sitting there, and God gave me that whole poem. But that's the thing, see. He gives you things as it...
The timing is right.
And he knows. That's why I like people to ask me questions sometimes. Because when they ask me questions, if I don't know the answer, I go and pray about it. And I say, Lord... what's going on there?
Yeah.
But
it's interesting how God doesn't really care what's going on in your realm. You can be eating a hamburger, and the Holy Spirit, He's in that now.
That's right. Well, see, that's the thing.
He cares less about what you're doing, what you're into,
and
He'll speak to you right
that
there.
That intimacy with God, it don't have to be when you're in praying.
Well,
it can be any time, anywhere, under any circumstances.
That's true.
Just as long as you have that
desire
in your
heart.
Yeah.
Intimacy with God.
Read aloud.
Come away, my love, into an intimate place where I'll show you the depths of my amazing grace. As you're wrapped in the warmth of my enfolding love, in the quietness and stillness, you will rise above. And sit with me in that heavenly place where you begin to see me face to face. And a change will happen as I give you my life, and a change of names as you become my wife. And my glory and love will break forth from your heart, bringing all to repentance and even a new start. For surely as you spend precious time with me, I will show you my plan for eternity. For my Father expressed his wondrous love when he sent me his Son from above. For I have redeemed mankind from the wages of sin, that he might come into being instead of to an end.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You are going to pray, Brenda.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We so desire to have such intimacy with you, Father, that you're changing us, Father. Changing us from glory to glory as we, Father, come into that place with you and just surrender all to you and want you above all else, Father. We thank you for the word that comes forth in these services, Lord, and Father, how you're teaching us and wanting us to have such brotherly love for one another
as we first have with you.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for we all ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
For you.
Behind.